You should see an outline in your bulletin. Rejoicing plus prayer equals peace. That's the title from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoicing plus prayer equals peace. Let's ask God to help us as we look to His Word again this morning. God, our Father, we need You to speak to us. As we consider some of Your words that You've written down, that have been passed through time, that have been translated into our language, that serve to encourage us as often as we look at them, and they challenge us, and they meet our needs. We're so grateful. Please, we expect to be changed by these words this morning. We expect to hear Your voice clearly. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One author writes about an unexpected injury that he sustained. It was a severe cervical spinal injury. He said the pain was excruciating. He was prescribed a very strong narcotic, and he had to lie in bags of ice. He didn't sleep much. He had to try and sleep in a reclining chair, and he said it was terrible. So he would go out on a screened-in porch behind his house, and he would just sit there and look out the window. And he said one of those days it was cold and blustery, but I was committed to being outside just for a change of scenery. Suddenly a bird landed on the railing and began to sing. On a cold, rainy day, I couldn't believe any creature had a reason to sing. And he says, I wanted to shoot that bird. But the bird continued to sing, and I had no choice but to listen. The next day, he found me on the porch again, but this time the atmosphere was bright, sunny, and warm. And as I sat there, being tempted to feel sorry for myself, suddenly the bird, at least it looked like the same one, returned. He was singing again. And he said, where's the shotgun at? He said, he was just joking. Then an amazing truth hit me on the head. The bird sang in the cold rain as well as the sunny warmth. His song was not altered by outward circumstances, but was held constant by internal condition. It was as though God had quietly said to me, you've got the same choice. You will either let external circumstances mold your attitude, or your attitude can rise above the external circumstances, and you can choose to sing. I just love that. It's a little shocking to us that Paul would write these words when we consider where he is in prison in Rome. He says this in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, we have to make it very clear, we don't rejoice because of our circumstances. Like Paul certainly wasn't saying, I'm rejoicing to be in prison right now. It's so wonderful. Now, that would be kind of silly. I'm rejoicing because I just broke my leg, maybe. No. I'm rejoicing because I have cancer. Not because of those things. And it's not, because that would be very unrealistic. But it's saying, I have cancer, that's very bad. Are there still reasons to rejoice? And the answer is yes. I'm in prison, that's not so good. But there's still reasons to rejoice. And I think that's the picture of the bird there. You know, the weather's cold, it's raining, the bird sings. On the sunny, warm day, the bird sings, but he has reason still to sing. And I think that's what Paul's getting at. In the Lord, we can rejoice at all times. Not that every day is going to provide the same amount of reasons to rejoice, but every day has reasons. Has some reasons to rejoice. Because in the Lord, we can always see, I think, that it could be worse. In the Lord, we can always see that we're undeserving of certain things that He's given to us anyways. And this is along those lines too. I read these words. Dr. Shelley Gamble said, a spouse can create good feelings about the marriage, increasing the sense of satisfaction, intimacy, and fun, all with a simple reaction. When a partner shares good news, actively respond. She helped the author of a UCLA research report on the subject, and she said, it isn't enough just to listen passively. Gable says a partner needs to be active, offering hugs, even high fives, when the other partner shares good news. When the responder does this, the other person immediately has tender feelings toward the supporting partner. This truth should transfer to all loving relationships. And I think that's a good picture of rejoicing with someone else. I mean, my wife could come and tell me something good, and I could sit at the table with a stone face look, you know, and just say, well, that's great. Or I could jump up and give her a hug. I think the hug looks more like rejoicing than the other. So if someone rejoiced in the Lord, it's actively responding, I think, to what God has done, what He will do, what He's currently doing. It's that active choice, like, wow, this is, if you're rejoicing, you know, it's that let your face know that you're rejoicing. You have to sometimes let your face know that this is happy, that you are happy. And maybe to help you, you can play a song, right? A song that you like, that helps you rejoice, depending on what that looks like. But, you know, sometimes that can help us show that we're actively responding to God. The next verse is really really wonderful. Verse number 6 in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests before God. Well, this whole idea of being anxious, this is tough for us. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. I put it in your outline there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I love that passage. It's so wonderful. But Corrie Ten Boom, I wonder if you know who that is. She once, during the time of Hitler, she hid Jews in her business, and she wrote a book called The Hiding Place. It's just absolutely unbelievable book. She was turned in, though, to the Germans, and she was actually placed in the concentration camp for hiding the Jews. And some of the book is about the horrors of that experience. I think it was Ravensbrück that she was in. But she wrote this down. I don't know for sure. I think she was expounding upon those verses by Jesus when she wrote this. This is also in your outline. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. I mean, I just read that and I just was like, you know, I couldn't believe it. It so perfectly describes, I think, what Jesus was saying or what he was trying to say. And it amplifies, I think, the passage there in the sense that that's exactly what we do. When we have anxiety, when we're thinking about the future, what may or may not happen, now we're carrying that load along with today's load. It's not here yet. It may not happen at all, but we throw it on our back. And we say, you know, I got to carry this now too. I got to worry about this. And we worry because we don't trust. We don't trust that maybe God is good. We don't trust that we have what it takes. We don't trust His provision. We don't believe somehow that we'll make it. And this can be a thing for people that is like overwhelming. This one guy, he's the editor, Scott Stossel. He's the editor of Atlantic Magazine. He described a lifelong struggle with anxiety. He has like an anxiety disorder. I wish I could say that my anxiety is a recent development, or that it's limited to public speaking, but it's not. He said, my wedding was accompanied by sweating so torrential that it soaked through my clothes, and shakes so severe that I had to lean on my bride at the altar so as not to collapse. At the birth of our first child, the nurses had to briefly stop ministering to my wife, who was in the throes of labor, to attend to me as I turned pale and keeled over. On ordinary days, doing ordinary things, like reading a book, lying in bed, talking on the phone, sitting in a meeting and playing tennis, I have thousands of times been stricken by a pervasive sense of existential dread, and have been beset by nausea, vertigo, shaking, and other physical symptoms, even when I was not actively afflicted by such acute episodes, I am buffeted with worry. And I don't think any of us, maybe some of you have that kind of a thing, but I don't think we have that extreme sense of worry as to physically affect us most times. But we can, I think it has to do with what you're feeding yourself also in your mind. You can just watch the news, right? You can see something. I saw a clip on actual kids being abducted. Okay, it was in other countries. It wasn't specific. Where was that? But it was people coming up, it was on a camera somewhere, and someone would come up and just take a kid and run, you know. And that to me is like, it burned in my mind, and like all of a sudden, like, I'm thinking about this all the time after I saw that video, you know. It's like, oh no, it's not going to happen. But you know, it's like, I'm not prepared for that. I'm not. How are you going to deal with that? Since I'm worrying about it. So that's right, never going to happen, but just that, we see things. We hear about things. What if that happens here? What if that happens to me? Carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Carrying 2 days at once. Can't do it. So what in the world is the solution? There's a lot of other verses on worry there that I put. But I'll just go to this. Understand what he said. Don't be anxious about anything, Paul said, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the very next verse, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, Paul says, instead of being anxious, or once you understand that you're anxious, you take it to God in prayer. You take it to Him in prayer. And as I prepared this week, you know, I discovered that my dad's leg was not doing so good, and I was concerned about that. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, but it's like, okay, I've been reading this verse over and over. I'm anxious about this. I'm anxious about my dad being okay and not being infected. All these things. So I said, what do I need to do? Obviously, I need to pray about this. And something I haven't done in a while, I said, you know, I'm not only going to pray, I'm going to actually fast, which I don't always do, okay? I sometimes do, but it's difficult to do it. So I said, I'm going to take a period of time, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray. Because what fasting does, really, I think, it supercharges your prayer, so to speak. It kind of, I wanted God to see, look, I'm serious about this. You know, my concern is real for my dad, and I'm going to fast and pray. And this is how I'm going to show that my concern is real. So I did that this past week for a period of time. And here's what I discovered. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, came and guarded my heart and my mind. You know, am I still concerned? Of course. But let me see what happens is, and that's what I tried to make sense of the title, Rejoicing. Remember, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Plus the prayer. Don't be anxious about anything, but prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it equals the peace. The peace comes to you. And we could say it this way. The more you pray, the more peace you're going to have. It's a simple equation. It's just, I can't understand it, but I had peace. I had a measure of peace because I prayed. And really, what else could I have done? I guess I could have took the day off work and went out to my parents' house. You know, they would have let me do that at work. I could have done that. But even then, I could have sat with my dad, which I went and did yesterday. But what could I have done? You know, how could I have made my dad's life better at all? I just felt the weight of that. I said, you know, I can't do anything, but I can pray. And God can do something that I can't do. So I'm saying, like, essentially I'm saying, this is in your hands, not mine. Essentially I'm saying, you have power to do things that I can't do. You can be all places at once, right with my dad in the same room, when right now I can't. You can sustain me and keep me alert and work while I'm choosing not to eat and I'm working on important stuff. You can give me strength to do that. And I can't explain. One person tells a story. They live by the sea, the ocean. They have strong winds. They say they come off the bay. And when the winds come, they get to watch a spectacular array of birds. Eagles, gulls, ravens, hawks. And the birds come out and they coast on the thermals, on the winds. And the person noticed they're not in a hurry to get anywhere. They're content to be blown by the wind, even tossed about and blown off course. They do not appear to be consumed by any other task than to be carried by the wind. I don't see the birds around my house losing feathers or wringing their wings in anguish over finding food, even though they have no guarantee of their next meal. They do not operate out of a sense of scarcity, even though they are completely dependent on their environment for provision and care. In the same way, the variety, the intricacy, and the beauty of the flowers and plants is not gained by their striving after those attributes. Or as Jesus said, by toiling or spinning. We're tempted to worry because we're not sure we'll have enough. It's that scarcity mindset. Like, I don't have what it takes. There may not be enough to go around. What happens then? We say God can provide. That's what happens. Even if He doesn't, I'll still be okay. You know, even if the worst case thing, I should die, I go to be with Him. So that's where some of the peace comes. It transcends understanding. It guards my heart and my mind against worry, against things that I can't control anyways. I mean, I don't think you ever reach a point where you're worry-free. I mean, I don't think that's really... I don't think we can possibly get there in our mind. Because there's so many things to worry about. But as we go this journey, you know, of we make progress in prayer. And we rejoice in the things that the Lord has given us. Then we continue to see His provision. We continue to experience His peace. I thought about this, that my schedule or my responsibilities, obligations, they don't permit me very much peace. I can be trying to relax somewhere, and it's constant. You know, I've got all these emails to read. I've got people that called me that left a message. I'm so bad. I rarely call people back that leave me a message. It's just not easy for me to do. It's like, when am I going to call you for one thing? You know. And there's always something else going on, and I'm just not good at it. It's easier for me to text somebody back. It's easier for me to email somebody back. But calling somebody back is impossible. It just seems impossible to me. You know, I've got to follow up on this or that. I've got to check and see the price of this. I've got to order this. I've got to get my oil changed. I mean, you can just get so overwhelmed, but just even the things you have to do, your responsibilities, the dishes need done, the clothes need washed, I mean, the list doesn't ever end, and you have no peace. And I think sometimes the answer has to be, you just sit in a chair. Right? Sometimes you just sit there and you be at peace. And stuff doesn't get done, you can get it done another time. Okay? But you sit there and you're at peace And I think it's kind of a picture of, it'll be okay. I think in the same way, we sometimes look at all these things. This person is sick. I can't do anything. My kid's in need. I can't do anything. But we go to God and we say, I need you. I need you to do something. And it's only when we can do that that we can sit there and be at peace. You're going to have to take care of this because I can't. That's what I'm trusting you to do. And to the extent we do that, the peace of God comes. And we don't understand. But it guards our heart and our mind. In the Lord Jesus Christ.